One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and we're Love University, and we're back. Here's where we talk about loving yourself, others, and higher nature. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. And every week we talk about how to improve your life, whether it's relationships, love, self-esteem, spirituality, and even your health. And today's topic is something that I think is going to be very fascinating. And it's a complex topic, and it's going to, I think, elicit some emotions in you because it's something that affects us very deeply. And the topic today is psychological immortality, how to live forever and leave an emotional legacy. And we have to talk first about the difficult topic called death. I teach psychology at colleges, and many times I talk to students about this in our course, and it's hard for people to talk about death, the idea of loved ones dying or even themselves. I work a lot with trauma victims, and also there are situations where parents have lost their children to gang violence that have been shot to death. And it's amazingly painful experience for them. Yet sometimes there can be hope, there can be transformation as a result of great trauma, and especially dealing with death. So for some people, death is a negative. It's something like a bully that comes in and robs you of something, or a thief in the night that leaves you with a lonely bed, empty chairs, taking a loved one. For other people, death can be a sense of elevation. Maybe they have a spiritual or religious belief. They believe in a higher sense, maybe heaven or a consciousness. Or it can be a sense of meaning in life. When you have the idea of death, that you're going to die, you know that your life has a certain timeline and you need to make meaning from it. And don't waste time on things that are not really your passion or your love. Death is defined biologically as an extinction of vital functions that cannot be renewed. But the quest for longevity and for long life, even immortality, has been going on for thousands of years. It is said that the Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon discovered Florida in his quest to find the fountain of youth, something that would keep you young forever. Now, there is some good news about longevity. The lifespan in the average person has doubled over the last 125 years, from 39 years of age to approximately 78, depending on your region. Nowadays, we even have what we call the immortality billionaires, very wealthy men that are investing a lot of money into finding a cure for illness or prolonging life in many ways. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, pledged $3 billion to cure all diseases by the end of the century. Another Russian billionaire named Dmitry Itskov came up with the 2045 initiative, where his goal is to help people achieve cybernetic immortality by the year 2045. In other words, transfer a personality, a person's mind, into an avatar, whether it's a robotic copy or a hologram. So basically being in cyber world for the rest of your existence. Other ideas are things like genetic engineering, in which cells, tissues, and organs can grow younger. Also, cloning organs, in which techniques using 3D printing are used to produce new organs. Or even cryonics, a very controversial approach where people, after legally dead, are frozen, their body or their head, in minus 196 degree temperature, in the hopes that in the future, maybe hundreds or even thousands of years later, there will be medical science that can restore the person. Now, some of this may sound like science fiction and be far-fetched, but some of it is being developed, so it can be very interesting. But even aside from the biological aspects of eternal life or longevity, there's also spiritual aspects. What happens when we die? And before death, there are anecdotal evidence, people that talk about it, the family members, and even people that are dying, that they're visited by dead relatives, that the people that come to them that say, come with me, it's okay, let go. Or we see that these people who are terminally ill reach out their hands as if to grab something, as if they're trying to touch something that exists in a different realm. Also, how people die is very interesting. Research shows that 14% of people die on their birthdays. And sometimes the person who's dying waits for a special loved one to come to their bedside before they die. So it's almost as if they're intentionally willing themselves to wait for death until that special moment. And of course, we have the very interesting near-death experiences, which have been researched to a certain extent, where people who are close to death and their soul somehow leaves the body and they have an otherworldly experience. Research shows that 17% of critically ill patients have had this out-of-body experience. And some of the elements are things like they leave their consciousness, their body, they encounter a light, some kind of beautiful light, and they're with beings of light, some other higher form that's full of light. They have what's called a life review. They have a flash of their life, everything that's happened in their life, both good and bad. And they have a feeling of unconditional love. It's a tremendous feeling of compassion. And people who have come back from these near-death experiences, maybe they were in a coma, maybe they even were clinically dead for a period of time, and come back, often change, and they have amazing insight. They have oftentimes greater appreciation for life, they have more compassion, and they have a stronger sense of purpose after having undergone these experiences. In one very interesting study, the AWARE study, they looked at, over the 4-year period, 2,060 heart attack patients, and 140 of them survived. And out of those that survived, a certain number of them had near-death experiences, where they actually, I believe they left their body and something happened that was out of the ordinary. One interesting case was a 57-year-old man who described that he was floating up to a corner of the room and he saw the medical staff worked on him and watched them as they were defibrillating him. And interestingly enough, the medical records confirm his exact description of what he was saying. And he said this 3 minutes after his heart had stopped. And typically, the brain also stops after 20 seconds of heart failure. So somehow, he had somehow seen something that was corroborated by medical staff, which is amazing. Now, some people may dismiss some of these findings of near-death experiences by saying that people who have what's called hypoxia, a lack of oxygen in the brain, have hallucinations. And these hallucinations may explain, you know, these visions they see and these out-of-body experiences. But then you might indicate that there are people that have hypoxia and don't have near-death experiences, NDEs. And there are people that have NDEs that don't have hypoxia. So again, it's hard to really determine the reality of these things through research because a lot of it's very subjective, but it is very interesting. Now, what I believe is perhaps the strongest approach or thing to look at here in dealing with death and living eternally is a psychological approach to basically learn how to accept death as a natural occurrence that can be positive in certain ways and helps you live your life more fully. Death indicates that there's a meaning in life. There's a certain purpose that you're here for a period of time. And living your dreams, spending time with your loved ones, can be in a tremendous realization. And also realizing that things like material riches and other things may not matter as much, but it's really the love that you express on earth. So with the psychological approach, the first thing we need to look at is how to embrace the unknown, which is death. Whatever your religious beliefs are, whether you believe in other world, heaven, consciousness, nirvana, people don't know for sure what's going to happen. Now, no one's really come back to tell us yet, been dead and come back as far as we know. So it is something that's unknown. And because it's unknown, we have fear. What's going to happen to us after we die? One way to alleviate the fear is to spend time with some older people who have a sense of peace and purpose in their life. Maybe they've lost already loved ones to death. Maybe they're frail themselves. But some of the older people have a very joyous and positive outlook on life and even death, whether it's their spiritual faith and belief or living a good life. They have a calmness about them. So we can learn a lot from being around elderly people like that. Another thing you can do, as this comes from the East, is a philosophical meditation called Maranasati, which means to meditate on your death, to actually visualize yourself as a dead person, and to realize that it's something natural. It's not something to be fearful about. I mean, all of us go through it. It's a natural process. So you see yourself in a dead state, but also you realize that there are wonderful things you can accomplish while you're still alive. Something else that can be very powerful is to talk about your dead loved ones. Now, sometimes we use euphemisms. We say they passed away or they're no longer here. But in reality, the word death can be a word that's very, very clinical, but also very accurate. And it's something that doesn't really need to bring fear to your heart. But you think, okay, they're dead, but I still have them in my heart. For example, my grandpa, he used to have a crazy sense of humor. And 3 years ago, my dad actually died. And that was a very hard experience for me at the time. We were very close. But I realized over time that he never really died. He's always still existing in my mind and heart. And people who have lost loved ones also often have that experience, that the person is always living within you, in your mind, in your memories. So being able to talk about your dead loved ones can be a very positive experience, also to children, if you have children or other people. Now, some countries have actually taken it even further to help people be accustomed to the idea of death. In Ukraine, there's something called coffin therapy, where they actually run out a coffin for 15 minutes where you can lie in the coffin. You can have an option of closed or open. You kind of just lie there and they play meditative music. You kind of like visualize yourself, you know, being dead. And it kind of like gets you accustomed to the idea that, you know, there's nothing to fear. It's just a natural process. One exercise I like to use is the falling back exercise. So we often do this in building trust exercises between couples. So what you can do is find a partner that stands behind you and you close your eyes and you fall backwards and they catch you. Now, initially they can be close to you and they can step a further back and further back. And this is a great exercise because if you think about it, death is like falling backward into an unknown, into an empty space. You don't know what it's about. But if you have faith that someone's going to catch you, whether it's God, a higher power, or something good in nature, then you're going to be okay. You're going to feel comfortable. You're going to feel taken care of. And that's the idea, to practice this exercise. And I would suggest you do it at home with your spouse. Now, make sure they don't drop you. That could be a problem. And basically, it can be a very useful time to kind of develop the idea of faith and trust. Trust in the universe and God, higher power, that there is something beyond this existence, if you believe in that. And finally, creating a lasting emotional legacy. It's a wonderful idea. The idea that the way you live your life can live beyond you. And first of all, look at your passions in life. What do you deeply care about? Who do you deeply care about? And these are the things that really make the big difference. And whether it's your career, your family, your friends, activities that you want to do in life, think of the things that you really, really value. And realize that those are the things you want to develop, you want to pursue. Maybe you want to go back to school and get your education. You haven't done it yet. Go to the Himalayas and meditate. Go to another country and travel. Start a nonprofit charity. Help children or animals. Take up a hobby, skydiving, parachuting. Learn how to be a great cook. Find a love partner. Raise children. Whatever it is that you've always wanted to do, maybe you're afraid to do it for whatever reason. Realize that that is part of creating this emotional legacy that you're going to have. That you're going to do something wonderful, that you're going to enjoy, you know, contribute to society. And also find people that are suffering. Develop your compassion. Maybe it's a homeless person that you can help with some money or some assistance. Maybe it's a friend that's going through a divorce or heartbreak, or even they're losing someone in their life to illness. Listen to that person with full attention. Many times we talk about listening. And oftentimes in our society, everyone's on their cell phone and technology, and we don't really listen to each other. We don't look at each other in the eyes. But it's a tremendous gift to give that to someone else, that ability to listen with compassion and with empathy, to put yourself in their shoes. Those are the kind of things that leave a lasting legacy that will last in the hearts of the people that you touch and help, whether it's your projects, your ideas, maybe even a business that lasts beyond you. Those are the things that create that legacy. Also, give children a sense of purpose. So if you have children in your life, your own children, maybe children around you, or be a mentor to the younger generation. Teach them things to help them find purpose and meaning and compassion. And here's the power that when you help these younger generations, you will be giving them some lasting ideas, some lasting images, some lasting energy that they can pass along to another new generation, and they can keep passing that along. So in some ways, you can be in some ways eternal in terms of your ideas and your feelings, your thoughts, as you pass it along to other generations that keep going on. It can be a beautiful thing. Another great idea is to write an emotional legacy letter. You can do this after you're dead, of course, and they can read it at your funeral, but it's even better when you're alive. Write a letter to your loved ones, to your family members, to your friends, in which you tell them individually, what do I appreciate about each one of you in detail? What do I need to forgive? Maybe I've been hurt by some of you. I can forgive you. Or I need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe I've done something to hurt my loved ones. And finally, what do I really appreciate about my life? What am I grateful for? All the great things that have happened in my life, the good things. And maybe some of the bad things or the challenges, how I've maybe learned something or overcome that. And also say, what do I want to leave behind to each of you? What message, what idea, what lesson? And again, those lessons and messages can be passed along to other people eventually, and they can change their life. The idea of pay it forward is very popular. There have been instances in which people drive up to a coffee place and they pay for the coffee for the person behind them. And that person, when they drive up and they're so grateful, they'll keep doing it for the person behind them. And it becomes a chain. It keeps going and going. Everybody gets free coffee and free bagels because one person gave that loving energy. So that's the kind of thing that can really make a big difference. And then finally, expand your mental state with love. While you're still alive, practice all these positive emotions, these positive things, whether it's forgiveness, forgiving other people, and even yourself. We often talk about this at Love University. Loving yourself is the first step for your errors, for your regrets, forgiving other people. Being grateful every day, writing three things you're grateful for, whether it's your life, your family, your friends, your ability to breathe fresh air, hear the birds in the sky. Appreciation, kindness, and compassion. Now, in reality, we have two kinds of minds. We have what we call the ordinary mind, the mind that is worried and fearful, maybe has shame and guilt. When we're concerned about what's going to happen to us, we're worried what's going to happen to our future, our finances, our health, even our very life. And this kind of mindset brings us low energy. We don't have much desire. We're sad. We're kind of depressed at times. And also we have our immune system is run down. So many times we can get illnesses and get sicknesses, colds and migraines because we're in this ordinary self. Then we have what we call the invincible self or expanded self, the part of us that's at a higher frequency that has love and compassion, that gives love without expectation, that has the things we talked about, forgiveness and gratitude and joy. So ideally, you want to develop more of that expanded self, that higher frequency level. Be kind to other people. Smile at others. Say nice things, compliments. Help other people that need it. Contribute to charities. Volunteer for an organization. Whatever you do, strive to be kinder and gentler and more loving. And the key is without expectation, because many times we expect things from other people. We expect them to like us, to reciprocate, give us something back. But in reality, the person with the expanded mental state with love does it without expectation, gives love without expectation. And when you do this, you're elevated. So in a psychological or even a spiritual way, you realize that you've accomplished wonderful things on earth. And if you believe in another realm, a higher realm, whether it's heaven or whatever spiritual place, you will just take what you already have. You already have love inside you, so you're going to take that wherever you go. So it's going to keep going and going. So it's an eternal thing. And regardless of your belief in an afterlife, the fact that you give that love on earth will also keep going. So you will, in some ways, continue your existence through other people and through the love you give. Now, one of my favorite exercises is what I call the deathbed meditation. Now, I want to bring in my producer, Reggie, here on this. Now, Reggie, we haven't talked about this today, but I want you to imagine something. This is an idea that can really give you a lot of insight about how am I living my life? Because we don't often think of our death. You know, we think of, you know, we're whatever age we are right now. I know you're a relatively young man, about 25 or so, I think.
27.
Oh, okay, well, you gave me two more years. So Reggie, I want you to imagine two scenarios. Now, before I do that, I don't know if you recall the famous song by Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley called My Way.
I remember.
Now, I don't know if you know how to sing that one, but are you a singer, Reggie?
I'm not a trained singer.
Okay. All right, so let's go with me. It goes like this. Regrets, I've had a few.
Regrets, I've had a few.
But then again, too few to mention.
But then again, too few to mention.
I did it my way.
I did it my way.
Okay, Roger, we're not going on an American Idol anytime soon. But you see, that song, I love it because it has such a powerful message, is that, sure, I made some mistakes, but at the end of my life, although I have a couple of regrets maybe, overall, I've lived the life according to my true vision, my passion, you know, my purpose, and I'm a happy person. So given that song as a build-up, Reggie, I want you to imagine two possibilities. Okay, the first possibility, Reggie, is that you have become a very selfish person and you just live for yourself. And as a result, you quit Love University, you go off and start making money in Wall Street, but you know, you really treat people poorly and really evilly. You're laughing here, Reggie. And you get addicted to something. What are you addicted to, Reggie?
Making money, I guess.
Well, okay, you're a money-holic. Okay, what else? How about a chemical? What else is the chemical you're addicted to? Are you a Twinkie lover?
I can go with that, yeah, Twinkies are good.
Okay. All right, so you become a Twinkaholic, and all your life you spend eating Twinkies, and you get divorced, and you leave your kids alone, and you work so much. Now you're on your deathbed, Reggie, and who's there to see you?
CEO of Hostess.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Because you got a bill for X number of dollars you got to owe them. And no one else is there, and you basically are dying alone and miserable and unhappy because you devoted your life to the wrong things. How do you feel, Reggie, at this moment?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah. Okay, you're almost dead and you're finished, right? They pull the plug and you're done. I don't know where you're going to go. Hopefully not that bad of a place. But Reggie, let me give you a second option, okay? Let's say that now you are a loving person, compassionate. You continue with Love University and keep getting better. What are your goals in life, Reggie? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, I want to keep building up like Love University. I want to expand into even more podcasting, start doing my own. Like where I'm the host, that would be really
okay. Cool. What's the topic of the show that you want to do?
Well, that would be like interesting. People will talk about ideas, their work.
Okay. On a personal level, where do you see yourself? Do you see marriage and children?
Oh yeah. So maybe I work for another 10 years, and then after that, then I get married and have kids. You know?
Okay. So Reggie, now I want you to imagine you're on your deathbed now, and who's there to see you? It's your wife, your children. This is a ripe old age. I'm going to give you 120 years of age. Okay. So it's also your what? Your
grandkids
and your great grandkids, and maybe all the people that you've helped through your podcast and through the work that you've done, people that you changed their lives, and they're all outside and they have candles, and they're all waving their candles for Reggie, and they're singing Kumbaya, Reggie, Kumbaya. Okay, how do you feel now, Reggie, as you pass into the next realm?
Feel pretty damn good.
Okay, I like that. Okay, right. Okay, so Reggie, that's an example. Now, I advise you try this at home. You know, visualize that you are on your deathbed. And work backwards. You know, what is it that you really value? Or what has happened to you? Maybe it's been your family. Maybe you are in the wrong job. Or maybe in the wrong relationship. And you're unhappy. And you see yourself 50 years later or 30 years later. And you see, I didn't really live the full life. I wanted to start a career or travel or do something different, education. So do that to yourself and see how you feel in the two different scenarios. Living your life as it is now, maybe the way you don't want to live it, or the way you truly want to live it, the desire, and leave your legacy behind, the passion. Because whether you have physical immortality or not, and again, this, some people think it's science fiction, or other people think people can live longer, maybe 150 years, maybe 200 years in the future. But regardless of that, you can have psychological immortality. You can create an emotional legacy right now by living your life to the fullest with passion, with pleasure, with joy, helping other people, contributing to others, being a mentor, leaving a legacy behind. They say, do three things in life, write a book, have a child, and grow a tree. So those are three things that last beyond you, but there are other things as well, whether it's a business, whether it's an idea, and just being kind to others can regenerate that love and that kindness to other people for many generations to come. So anticipate you guys aren't dead yet, right? You're still listening to me, so that's the good news. And that you'll live a long and prosperous life. And then when you do leave this earth, and when you do die and go to another realm, you will do it with love and dignity and, in a sense, some sense of happiness that you've done something amazing here on earth while you still have it. And you appreciate every day that you're alive. And we have gratitude for everything that we do. Again, Love University, we're loving ourselves, we're loving others and the higher nature. And that higher nature could be that next realm, that next place we go to after we pass from this earth. So all students now, put away your laptops, your computers, your iPhones, and even Reggie, work on your podcast, right? You got to get to that point. Okay, we'll see you next time. And before I go, if you want to reach us with any interesting stories, maybe some of you actually have had near-death experiences or know people who have, or anything that you want to talk about that could be a topic on the show, you can write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. We have actually new blogs that are coming up. They're really interesting based on each show. Every week after the show, we have a blog. And in the blog, we actually cover the topics in the show in depth and detail. And we invite your comments and feedback. And of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And basically, we're building a community here of people that want to love each other, help each other, and grow. And we're going to be having some live events coming up, Love University events, and we'll get to meet each other. So again, next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Love University, class is dismissed.